What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Facade. I'm your host, Gavin J. Gallagher, and on this podcast, I explore the mental and emotional game often playing out subconsciously, both in your mind and the mind of everyone else in the real estate or property investment market. The key to success in this game is to master your mindset and behavior, to take control of your thoughts, your emotions, and most importantly, your ego. Welcome to the show. Guys, real quick before we begin, I have created a brand new accelerator program. It kicks off in mid-May and has an in-person welcome event starting on the 1st of June. I've put a ton of work into building this course, and it's important to point out that this is not a novice level program. It's for people who own property and want to be involved in the property business. It's aimed at time poor business owners, corporate executives, and professionals who might harbor ambitions to build their own property portfolio with the potential to fully replace their salary. Now, you may not want to leave your job, or you may not want to give it up or anything like that, but I think you will see the value of having options beyond selling your time for money. If this sounds of interest, please click the link below to book a call with me to discuss whether or not you're a right fit for the program. I do look forward to meeting you in June if you are, and working closely with you on this exciting journey. Now, back to the show. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode, and I apologize for being late again, but I do not think I have ever been as busy as I am at the moment. And I don't think it's just myself. I am hearing that from that same thing, like that they've just never been so busy. Hearing that from pretty much everyone I'm speaking to at the moment. And so it's an interesting time for sure. I think this is kind of hang-ups from COVID and things like that. But everybody I'm speaking to, like contractors, developers, design team professionals, you know, people working in the trades and everything, just everybody is flat out at the moment. And one of the questions that this got me thinking about was, what are we flat out doing? And this is one of the questions that you need to kind of think about from time to time, or certainly I find myself asking myself this, is, am I busy doing the stuff that will ultimately get me closer to the goal that I'm seeking? And I refer to the big kind of hairy, audacious goal, the BHAG. And that is my vision that I have for the future. And I like thinking about what my BHAG is, and are the steps that I'm taking today or tomorrow or this week, are they getting me closer to achieving that BHAG? And you see, the reason I'm saying it is that I often fall into the trap of being super busy just doing stuff. And that is being, you know, running around, answering emails, responding to urgent stuff. But urgent stuff does not necessarily mean it's important stuff. There's a concept, or it's like a framework that Eisenhower, the president of the US, and I think he was a military general as well, but the Eisenhower Matrix, it was called. And the Eisenhower Matrix is basically, it's a page of paper with a cross across the middle, of both going up and both going down. And in those four quadrants, there are different things. There is stuff that is super urgent and super important. Then next to it, there's stuff that is not so urgent but important. And then in the lower quadrant, there is stuff that is not important and not urgent. And that's obviously the stuff that you should kind of like throw away. If it's not urgent and it's not important, why are you working on it? But one of the problems is that an awful lot of stuff that we do is urgent and is not important. And so, you know, if the phone is ringing, that's pretty urgent because it's an irritating noise, and it's, you know, a lot of the time people will answer a ringing phone. Or there will just be something that's going on in your life that is an irritant, but it's not necessarily something that is important and should be done. And so you need to think about what you're doing and whether that stuff that you're doing is important. And if it's not important, like, are you taking action? Are you being deliberate and intentional in the direction that you want your life to go? Having a clear strategy, having a plan, and then going about acting on it, that is one of the important things. And often they say, one of my habits in the morning is, as they say, swallow the frog. And what that means is that get the unpleasant task done first. But a lot of the time, that unpleasant task is an important task. It's something that will move the needle. It can be unpleasant. It might be a difficult conversation, or it might be something that requires a lot of thinking, or kind of taxing in terms of your thoughts. But it is usually something that's the first thing to get out of your way, because if you just decide I'm going to tackle the pleasant stuff, the easy stuff, then half your morning's gone. And then suddenly when you have to do the heavy lifting, you don't have the energy any longer. So one of the reasons I'm so busy with my work at the moment is, I mean, obviously we in the commercial sector, we're in a bit of a crisis at the moment. Like the work from home stuff is really starting to cause problems in a lot of office buildings. And I've been speaking to different tenants that occupy some of the buildings in our portfolios. And, you know, a lot of them are guys that want to come back to work in, and they want to get all of their staff back to work. But they're saying that there's a lot of resistance from staff. And so they all talk about utilization rates. And that is that the number of days that the building is occupied by the staff. And you've got, and they've got these ways of calculating them stuff, but people are talking about 10 to 15% utilization rates, which means that if you have, we'll say, 100, you know, people working in your building, and they're supposed to be there, you know, 100 hours, we'll say, they're only showing up for 15 of those hours in the building. The rest is being done from home or somewhere like that. And that's keeping me pretty occupied and busy at the moment. But I'm also very busy working on my new accelerator, which I'm launching next month. And I thought I would just mention that, because I've had 8 people now sign up in the past week or so. And it's great to have this kind of enthusiasm and people committed to taking action, which is great. And I thought I would just mention, like, some of the people that have joined. I'm not going to name names, but just in terms of what they're doing, it's really interesting to see such a diverse group coming together. So we have entrepreneurs that have joined, and we have a combination of an age range that's pretty sort of impressive. We have our youngest member is mid-20s, and he's an entrepreneur that does online stuff, and he's doing very, very well. I kind of look at him and go, wow, it'd be great to be kind of earning that kind of money in your 20s. And then we have somebody that has been in business for about 40 years, well, 35 or 40 years. And they have a very, very established business that it manufactures and it distributes and it sells health supplements. And it's a big, big business. And so that's a real range there. But it's interesting that they both want to learn property. And then we have professionals from, you know, design team professionals, so quantity surveyors, people like that. We also have a couple of contractors signing up. And one of them is very experienced, like tons and tons of experience. But a lot of these guys have got, and I'm going to talk about experience today, they've got the same kind of experience as I have. And that's not necessarily a pleasant kind of experience. But guys that were very, very active pre-2008 and then got into some sort of difficulty in a similar way to what I did. And so these are guys that have a lot of experience. And so it's interesting to see guys like this joining up in the accelerator. And so I'm very excited for this group. And I'm still taking on more. So if this sounds like a group that you'd like to be a part of, please do reach out. I put a link in the show notes if you want to book a call with me to discuss the course and the just whether or not you're the right fit for it. That is something. One of the interesting things actually is two of my former clients who've actually already done the last accelerator are back again. And so back for some more punishment maybe. But one of the things that really sort of stuck out for me is that some of these guys are investing in their education, like reinvesting in their education. And that is something that I think it's very important for us all to remember, is that you never reach the top of the mountain in terms of knowledge, experience, skills, all that kind of stuff. You're always, there's always something more you can learn. There's something that you can look at from a different perspective, whatever it might be. And by the way, I'm not here to convince you to join my program. I don't want to push anyone into joining something that is not right for them. But what I do want to do is to persuade you that there are people out there that are currently taking action. And people like you listening to the podcast, and they've decided that they're going to go and take some action and actually do something to change the situation that they're in. And you see, taking action has a number of steps to it. And it often begins with a decision that you want to start something. And the motivation or the reasons behind that could be varied. But a lot of the time people will often feel that they're stuck in a kind of a rut, that they may be tired of the feeling of not taking action, or that they just, they need some sort of impetus, like maybe a group of people around them that are like peers that'll kind of motivate them to move forward. And often this triggers a kind of an emotion that sort of says, you know what, I have to stop, I have to get up, I have to take some action. And that feeling of being stuck, you can kind of get unstuck, but you gotta go and take some action to do that. And education is very often the first step, because it's kind of, it's going to spell out a few things for you. It's going to maybe shine the, illuminate the path a little bit, make it a little bit clearer for you. And as you go through the process of educating yourself and learning these new skills and things like that, a level of confidence comes back, which will make the decision easier going forward. And so, but that's not it. Like, the education is not the end of it. That's only the beginning of it. The next thing is, once you've been educated, you start putting the education into practice. And so you are effectively taking action again. You're actually getting up and doing something. Maybe that's, you know, calling an agent. Maybe that's starting to look at the online portals that sell property again. Maybe it's reaching out and connecting with a lender to see what you could qualify for. Maybe it's organizing the viewing of a property, and maybe it's even submitting an offer. And submitting an offer, you know, they don't always get accepted on the first go, and it can be disappointing. But if you're not actually out there putting into practice what you've learned and taking action, then everything that's kind of in theory just remains in theory in your mind. It's only when you start actually taking action that you can develop this into a skill. And these skills, they take some time to develop. You have to make some mistakes in order to develop a skill. If you think about it from the point of view of watching a little child learning to walk, at about 1 year of age, a child will typically start, you know, they're standing up, they're falling down, they're standing up, they're falling down. They start taking these wobbly steps and stuff. And just through trial and error, you know, every time they take a step, they fall, they've learned something more, and they're developing the skill. And it's exactly the same for pretty much every sort of aspect of life. It's a skill that you develop. So it's only by putting the theory that you've picked up in the education into action that you develop the skills. And it's only after making, let's say, for example, using the example of making an offer, it's only after you've submitted a couple of offers and they've been turned down and rejected that you start to figure out, ah, okay, I know what I've done wrong, or I know how I could have sweetened that deal. Maybe it would have made the difference. And then it's only after you've made these mistakes that you get to the final step. And the final step is experience. And that is, and believe me, you won't gain any experience just by reading theory. Only action and learning through trial and error And I mentioned the child falling and stuff like that. Trial and error is the only way that you're ever going to gain experience. And so what do we have there? We have education, we have action, we have skills, and we have experience. And you know me, I love my acronyms. That spells out EASE, E-A-S-E. And so you want to ease into gaining this experience. Now, on the topic of experience, there is a concept called experience points. And something I heard somebody speaking about recently enough. And this is where, regardless of whether you had success or whether you had failure, both of them lead to you gaining experience points. And, you know, if you apply for a bank loan and it's rejected, disappointing as it is, you've just gained some experience points. If you submit a bid for a building or a property that's for sale or whatever, and it gets rejected, that's a bummer. You know, you wanted that property, but it all goes down as experience points. If you buy something that you shouldn't have, and if it costs you money, or if it, you know, you lose money on the deal or whatever like that, that is probably one of the more painful things you can do. But guess what? Those are experience points too. And so the reason people sign up to programs and courses like my accelerator is that I have got lots and lots of experience points. I mean, I have probably more than the average person. And it's all from making mistakes. It's from figuring things out. Yes, I've had plenty of success as well, but it's actually probably the mistakes that teach you more, and it's the mistakes that give you more experience points than necessarily the successes. And the idea is that you go and find somebody who has lots of experience points and you ask them to be your mentor. The idea being that that person who has all that experience, all those experience points, and who's doing something that you would like to do, those are the people that are going to steer you away from maybe the pitfalls, maybe the landmines, as we say. But the other thing that they're going to do is speed up the process. You're not going to take as long getting to the goal as the mentor took to get there. And that's how they've got the experience points, is that they took their time, they made lots of errors, but in the process of doing that, they learned a lot of things. And so they're able to share that. And that is one of the reasons why having a mentor is a fantastic thing. And I think to myself, gosh, what it costs me. I mean, you could easily go straight into action and avoid the education piece altogether. And this is a strategy that I took back in the early days when I started. And the strategy also works. You will gain those same experience points. And you'll definitely become an experienced person over time. But if you look at it from the point of view of my disastrous deal in Spain, I've referred to this many times. This deal that I put together in Spain was a big, ambitious deal. And I didn't have any mentor, didn't have any sort of advisors that were in my corner. I was paying plenty of people to give me reports and things like that. But I didn't have somebody that I asked to mentor me in my corner. And that deal cost me personally cash out of my bank account, 3 million. And I also had 9 million of cash from investors that I had persuaded to part with their money and put it into this deal with me. And I also had 30 million that I had raised from the Royal Bank of Scotland at the time. And it took me seven or eight years of my life trying to keep this project afloat before it all went belly up. And so 3 million personal cost plus 7 or 8 years, that is the most expensive MBA on the planet. Okay, you go and have a look at the cost of an MBA in Harvard University or something. It's probably a quarter of a million or something like that. My thing cost me 3 million. So just gives you an idea. That's the kind of experience you can pick up if you try to do it yourself. One way or another, you're going to pay for your education. You can either pay for courses and mentors and things like that, or you can pay it using experience points that you pick up on the way. Now, seriously, I used to look down on courses myself, I can remember thinking to myself when I saw these kind of guys putting on, you know, these tapes that you bought, or you bought these kind of courses that were so many CDs and things like that. And I can remember looking at that with skepticism and thinking, gosh, that's sure, I can figure this stuff out myself. I don't need some guy to tell me. And that I realize now that that is a flawed way of thinking. And if I had, like, just looking back to 2005 or something, if some guy had come along and said, I will mentor you for a year, Gavin, I want you to give me 60,000 a year for me to do it, 5,000 a month, and I'll be your mentor. And I would have, if somebody had come along like that, I would have said, are you kidding me? 60 grand? That's way too expensive. But think about where I'd be now had I not gone, had I taken that guy on. If I had paid 60 grand, it would have cost me in 2006, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, I might have paid 240,000 to that guy for to mentor me. And maybe he would have told me, do not go into that Spanish deal. And so the 240 I could have spent on mentoring from him could have saved me 3 million cash, plus 9 million of investors' money, plus 30 million of bank funds, plus 7 or 8 years of my life. And so mentors, courses, education, all that kind of stuff, you can avoid it, you will pay for it, but there's one way or another it can be done. And I certainly think now in retrospect, I would have gone for the mentor. Anyway, guys, I just wanted you to consider that, because there's going to be a lot of people out there who think about where they are at the moment, and there's some aspect of it that perhaps you're unhappy with. I know just from starting my school community recently, and it's going very well, by the way. I have 165, I think, members now at this stage. There's going to be a link down below, by the way, if you want to join the school community, absolutely free to join. And there's various free courses and stuff that I'm putting up in there. But the reason I mention it is that when you join the school community, you will be asked 3 questions. And the reason I put these 3 questions up is just to verify whether or not you're real, because there's a lot of scammers and spammers and stuff that are out there. And every day that I, you know, every day I reject multiple people that are trying to join the school community. And I can just tell by reading it that they are fake. It's usually it says something like that. They found me on Google or something like that. I'm not advertising this, so they wouldn't have found me on Google. And then it would say something, oh, I just want to make friends, you know, things like this. That's not why you join my school community. And so I looked for the answers. But the people that are genuine, that have now joined the 160 or so, I've been watching all of the answers. And the answers are all around, you know, funding, figuring out how to raise money, all of this stuff. And so there's a lot of people out there who are trying to figure this stuff out. And if you are one of those people and you're thinking, how am I going to figure this out? Well, the best step you can take is join the community, start, you know, absorbing some of the free content. I'm not looking for anything for that stuff. This accelerator that I've been talking about today, this is for more advanced level, for people that have got a bit of experience, that have done stuff in the past and have some money to go and put into deals and things like that. This is not for somebody who's starting out. If you want to go and get yourself closer to a kind of an ideal, a goal that you're thinking of, like, to use my reference, a BHAG again, you have to think about, where do I want to be? And is there something that I can take action on right now that can actually take me a step closer to whatever that goal is? And whether that's, you know, life experience, or whether that's, you know, something that you want to afford to buy, or whether that's something you want to do with your partner, or whatever it might be, look ahead, create a plan, and start thinking about what are the next steps I need to do. And that becomes your strategy for the future. And in due course, you'll have achieved something that you can be proud of. So there you go, guys. I hope you found this one useful. I wish you a week of taking action and making things happen. And I'll see you back here next week. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Facade. If you enjoyed the show or found it in any way useful, could I please ask you to take a moment to leave a review over on iTunes or Spotify? This really helps us get the podcast out in front of more people. If you have any questions or topics you would like me to cover in future episodes, please connect with me via my brand new school community. You will find a link in the show notes. You can stay up to date with all of my content and the projects I'm working on by signing up for my weekly newsletter over on my website, gavinjgallagher.com. That's all for now. See you back here, same time next week.